Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live, where our physical church is located in Philadelphia, PA, and Elder Jonathan Ford is our pastor. Thank you for joining our worship gathering this morning via Facebook and YouTube Live. At this time, we'll have prayer by Gabe.
Dear Lord, I pray that we'll have a good day, and that the scripture will be good, and we'll be calm. Jesus' name pray. Amen.
Today I'll be reading scripture from Revelation 7, 9, and 10. And it reads, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds, and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word."
Good morning, and welcome to all of you to the broadcast today. Good to see you, Philly. Good to see you, New Jersey. Shout out to the Carolinas. Good to see you, ATL. Amen. Some 5 months later, we're still distant worshiping, but in so many ways, we're coming together in the spirit, realizing the power of God to sustain us in these strange times. Normally right now, we might say, hug your neighbor, high five them, something like that. I'm just going to change it up this morning. Just do whatever you have to do to get somebody's attention. Just wake up your house, whatever you have to do, gather them around, bring them into the room. Let us go to the house of the Lord together. Amen. And before we pray this morning, I want to take a moment and read the prayer list. And I have to say, unfortunately, there are too many names on this list, even though it's not a complete list. And I say further that I want you to know that the prayer is not really even for these names, but rather because of these names. And it's up to you and I who must endure in their absence, who must seek God in whom there is all, in whom all truth and mercy. These names read today: Rashard Brooks, George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, Tony McDade, Trayvon Martin, Elijah McCain, Laquan McDonald, Freddie Gray, Eric Gardner, Ayanna Stanley Jones, Botham Gene, Michael Brown, Sandra Bland, Yvette Smith, Alton Sterling, David McAtee, Walter Scott, Brianna Taylor, Tamir Rice, Philandro Castile, Rodney Clark, Rodney King, Stephon Clark, Martin Luther King Jr., Medgar Evans, Emmett Till, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Elaine, Arkansas, East St. Louis, Missouri. Will you pray with me this morning? Most holy God, we humbly stand before thee now. Capture our hearts. For you are the most high God, and there is none that is above you. Through your word, bring us to remembrance that you are the creator of the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Remind us that you are the one who spoke all natures, all cultures, all ethnicities into existence. Lord, forgive us if we have not treated our brother or sister as one of your creations, one of your children. We proclaim now that you are the answer to what we seek. And we humbly come before you. Guide our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Amen. Keep praying. Listen, it's not a secret that there is an injustice in the form of racism in our nation. This is not a secret to the secular world, and this is certainly not a secret to the church. And so I want to talk through some things this morning. Because you see, racism in America is not simply just going to disappear. Racism, like infectious disease, is not simply going to disappear. Amen? In my studies, I often reference what's called the Bible of Dictionary Themes by Martin Manser, and here the theologian defines injustice as this. The unnecessary, and this is what injustice is, it's the unnecessary and unjustified ill treatment of others through false accusation or through the inflicting of pain or punishment. Having its origin in Satan, it works through the sinful human heart and shows itself in every sphere of life. It merits the wrath of God. Injustice is characterized by deception, dishonesty, and heartlessness. Injustice is the oppression of the needy and the weak. Its origin is Satan, and it works through the sinful hearts of men and women. Amen? And although the injustice of racism has been a formidable stronghold, I do not believe that God left us without an answer. Rather, God left us with a firm foundation, the Bible, His holy word, revelation available to every believer who seeks it. Amen. In the face of injustice, we can go straight to the Bible for instruction. Amen. And I remember our pastor Daryl Scott used to teach us an acronym for Bible. He would refer to it as basic instruction before leaving earth. Amen. That's how he would say it, basic instruction before leaving earth. And now our pastor, Pastor Jonathan Ford, he continually encourages us that everything we need counsel for is available within the Word of God, the Holy Bible. He says all we have to do is read it. And so as overwhelming as the system of racism is in this country, we are reminded that there are no principalities or powers that exist outside of the sovereign control of Father God, the creator of the earth, the sea, and everything in them that is. Amen. I see in this passage in the New Testament, Jesus himself talking about injustice and giving us this encouragement. This is in Luke 18, and it reads this parable. Jesus says he spoke this parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and faint not. Faint not. Amen. Jesus said this. He said, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Jesus is telling us that there are unjust judges. He said in verse 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faint on the earth? He was saying, faint not, pray and faint not. Amen. To remain strong in the face of injustice, Jesus is saying men and women ought always to pray. But listen to what else Jesus said about the widow. She didn't just stay in her house and pray. She didn't just stay in her church and pray. Because of her prayer, she was empowered by the Holy Spirit so that her trouble did not overwhelm her. She felt it, but she was not overwhelmed. And she didn't pray just so that she could avoid her trouble. But she prayed so that instead of fainting, she could yet fight for another day. The word says she rose up, she marched, and she continually went before the judge. She knew that the man on the judicial bench was unjust. Listen to the words of the judge himself. There's no interpretation needed. Listen to what he says. Listen to the judge. Listen to what's coming out of his own mouth. The unjust judge said he didn't regard God and he didn't regard man. Injustice often speaks plainly for itself. Injustice speaks even when it's spoken through 8 minutes and 46 seconds of silence. I'm calling on a few widows this morning. Keep praying. I'm calling on a few faith-filled believers to keep marching before the unjust judge. Intercessors, pray over those that raise a voice against injustice. Pray for those that are continually moved to go before the judge. Amen. What will the witness be for the body of Christ in this age? What will our witness be? Will God's people be silent because we don't believe the system will change, or instead will we rise, prayed up and strengthened and ready for the use of the Lord? Amen. And in your Bible, in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus covers the Beatitudes, right after that, he talks about this salt of the earth. He says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Is it then thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men? He says this to the church, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Believers, is our light shining? Amen. Look, if my wife was preaching right now, she'd tell you that this is not simply a crisis for the church, but rather this is an opportunity to be a witness to the world. This is harvest time and everyone is looking. The question is our light on? In Acts chapter 18, Paul is threatened by abusive rulers. In verse 6, he's trying to shake it off. It says he protested against those who would not hear his cause. And in verse 9, Jesus speaks to him in a vision, and he says this to Paul. He says, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Jesus told him, be not afraid, but speak. And Paul continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God to them. When Jesus told Paul that he had much people in this city, he spoke of those that would be saved through the preaching of God's word. Jesus spoke of the harvest. And so I'm here this morning to say to the church, be not afraid, but speak. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. God will address injustice. God will address the prayer list. So rise up, go to the city, and speak before the unjust judge. Some of you may be with me. Maybe we're on the page. And now you're asking a fair question. You're saying, preacher, you know, I'll speak. I'm with you. I'm with you. Some of you may even be thinking about the verse that says, be slow to speak. Amen. You're saying, what do I say? And truthfully, come on, truthfully, we may be saying that because if we say what we want to say, not what God's word says, but if we say what we want to say, we may not sound like we're blessed and highly favored, covered by the blood of Jesus, saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. We may not sound like that if we said what this flesh would say. We may not want to go before the unjust judge right now, because if we said what we want to say, we may not be a good representative for Father God. And I understand, you know, when we speak from a place of hurt, then sometimes in turn, our own words might be hurtful. And on the other hand, for some, that appear maybe not to seem affected, we're not sure why they're not affected, but maybe on their side, their life experience has not shown them the damage of systematic racism, and And maybe because of that, their words are absent of compassion. Amen. So here's the deal, church. We must be visible in this fight. Racism is not simply going to disappear. Racism, just like infectious disease, is not simply going to disappear. Amen. So this morning, what I'd like to do is talk to you to present something that maybe might help us. I'd like to talk about an Acts 2 model to address the injustice of racism. Amen. And there's three parts to this Acts 2 model. One, pray until the empowerment of the Holy Spirit comes. Amen. Pray until the empowerment of the Holy Spirit comes. That's one. Two, get educated on both scripture and history. Amen. Scripture and history. Get educated. Amen. And three, be in position as God moves for harvest in this nation. When he moves, you move. Amen. Amen. Last week, Pastor Ford brought us to Acts chapter 2. He set us up. He brought us to the day of Pentecost in the room where it happened as Jesus instructed them. They had prayed back in Luke 24 and 49. Jesus had told them, behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endowed with power from on high. Amen. So this is why they were in the room. And at that start of Acts, in the second chapter, in those first six verses, where it talks about the day of Pentecost had fully come and they were all on one accord in one place. Amen. Glory to God. There was unity among believers brought on by prayer in the Holy Spirit. And it says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Amen. The sound of a rushing mighty wind. Some of your Bibles, I believe it's the NIV, says it was a violent sound. Amen. It was a sound that came and it was heard not just in the house, but outside. Amen. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. And there were Jews, devout men out of every nation unto heaven. This was noised abroad. The multitude came together to see what was going on, and they were confounded because every man heard them speak in their own language. Amen. So empowered by the Holy Spirit, it was loud. It came like a mighty rushing wind. Amen. Many nations are now empowered to hear one another. Amen. If we begin praying, this is what the Holy Spirit will do. It will set a place where nations can begin to have discussions. Cultures can have discussions. Amen. Empowered, amen, to embrace one another as God's creation. Amen. That's when you begin to look at your brother and sister because not as adversaries, but because you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. You see in them that they too are God's creation. Amen. That's the first part of this Acts 2 model, is pray. Pray until you're empowered with the Holy Spirit. Now part two is this. Get educated on scripture and history. Amen. Educate yourself. Get the information. Listen to those who have labored in the hard topic of racism and who have outlined perspectives and methods to address it. Amen. Tell your neighbor it's time to go to school. Amen. God has sent us pastors and teachers anointed to preach and teach on the injustice of racism. Amen. They will speak first, and then we as believers will be witnesses to the world. Amen. And this is important. In this Acts 2 model, this is exactly what Pastor Peter does in verses 14 through 36. Amen. Here he is anointed to preach and teach to devout men of all nations. Peter, moving under the power of the Holy Spirit, teaches them both scripture and history. I want you to read Acts chapter 2 this week. Amen. I want you, if I went through it verse by verse, we'd be here for a long time this morning. Amen. But if you take some time during the week and if you read it from that perspective, you will see how he explains the story of Jesus through both scripture and history. You see, scripture reflects what God has spoken. And history is man's reaction. History often reflects whether humankind has heard God and moved in accordance with his will, or if we have rejected the counsel of our own creator. Amen. We have an obligation to learn both the scripture and the history. And I believe that God has sent different teachers into the body of Christ to educate us. And so I'm going to go through a list of some resources. Amen. And this is what I want to say, because you may not have time to write them all down. That's fine. The information is going to come up on the screen. But listen, if you are already on our email list, we'll send you these references. If you're not on the email list, contact us through the website, Facebook, Instagram, go to taylortabernacle.com. We'll get this reference list to you. Just get us your email. Amen. But here are some resources to help you speak, to speak to Christian counsel. Amen. The first is a book that's getting a lot of media coverage right now. It's from our brother, Pastor Dr. Eric Mason of Epiphany Fellowship, located in North Philadelphia. His book, The Woke Church, is available at CLC Bookstore, ChristianBook.com, Amazon.com. Amen. And let me tell you, Dr. Mason isn't new to this. I was first introduced to his teachings back in 2007 through my good brother, Minister Darius Kimbrough, and he's been teaching the global church how to address injustice for quite some time. Amen. From his ministry of Epiphany Fellowship and their Thriving Frequency Conference, I was introduced to another teacher, Dr. Soong Chan Ra. He has a book called Prophetic Lament. You can get that at the InterVarsity Press and other retailers. Amen. Pastor Miles McPherson, he's the pastor of the Rock Church in San Diego. He has a book called The Third Option. This is an awesome book teaching biblical perspective of honoring the common relationship we have with each other as creations of Almighty God. It's an awesome book. Amen. Many of these, they're not only just the books, but there's also videos. I'll put that on the resource list. There are at InterVarsity Press, and this, we're going to get you this link. There are 50 books, at least 50 books, educating the church on faithful justice. Amen. So there's a lot of resources. One of the videos I'll refer you to is Pastor H.B. Charles of the Shiloh Church in Jacksonville, Florida. It's a must read, must listen to. This is one of his from the Together for the Gospel conference. I was so glad one of our young adults pointed me to Pastor Michael Todd from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Transformchurch.us. We're going to get you that link. Amen. I was blessed, although a sad occasion, I was blessed to hear from Reverend Raphael Warnock. Amen. As he gave the eulogy for Rashard Brooks in Atlanta. Amen. We're going to give you these so that you can educate yourself. Amen. And I have, all these just awesome ministers of the gospel, eloquent speakers, amen. They break the word of God down in a way that I still aspire to study and to obtain. But if you go back with me, I'll even put on that list how you can listen to my sermon back in 2015. So I want you to know this isn't just preaching in the moment, preaching to the media. But if you go back to 2015 with me, you may remember my sermon, "Whose Side Are You Standing On? Are you standing on the Lord's side?" Amen. We addressed this topic of racism right there. Amen. Some of you might remember that. And even on last year, I'll share another one with you. When I spoke at Kingdom Builders Deliverance Church in Norristown, Pennsylvania, shout out to Pastors Lance and Shelley Lawson. Amen. It was a week after the mass shootings in Dayton, Ohio and El Paso, Texas. And I preached a sermon called "A Tough Sunday to Preach." Amen. Hit us up. We'll get you that resource list. Amen. There's a lot to these scriptural resources, and what you'll find on the list, I've got a few that are also be there that'll come from a historical perspective that will break down the history of racism in America so we can see it and we can understand why things take certain offense, amen, that because they don't just represent history or heritage, but there are things that they represent in the offense of racism, amen. So we have that for you, amen. Educate yourself. God has sent us pastors and other teachers anointed to speak against the sin of racism, who will teach us both scripture and history to help us witness against this injustice. We must get equipped for this fight. Amen. So thirdly, in our Acts chapter 2 model, I say this morning, be in position as God moves for harvest in this nation. When he moves, you move. Amen. Be in position. And I'll preface this to say that hearts must change. Here we find in Acts chapter 2, down in 37 and 38, after Peter had explained to them both the scripture and the history, it says this was the reaction. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Church, are you ready? Peter replied, speaking to a change in their hearts, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Listen, racism, like infectious disease, will not simply disappear. When the body of Christ, believers from all nations and ethnicities, speak against the injustice of racism, we become the salt of the earth. We become the city on the top of the hill, and our bold witness leads others to say, "What must I do?" And when God moves, we move with the words that Pastor Peter gave us to say, repent and be baptized. Amen. It's a call to salvation. He says, repent. Repentance is an act of the heart. It's not an act of the law. Amen. Our hearts must change. Listen, this is on all sides. I often think about this, and I was torn a little bit. Do I put this in the sermon or not? But God had told me and pointed me to the comedian Richard Pryor, and I'll just put a warning on that. Not safe for work. Don't just go Googling him. But there was a part in a time and an age in Richard Pryor's life, where if you go back, if you know about his life, he said there are some words that now I know my history, I cannot say some words. I cannot say these words any longer. Richard Pryor, words that he had said day after day after day, words that he had called terms of endearment. Even Richard Pryor, upon learning his history, shed a tear, had a change of heart, said there are some words I cannot say anymore. You see, it's repent. And then it's be baptized. Amen. And this is what many of us were taught about baptism, that baptism is an outward sign of an inward change. Amen. So for many, you may not knowingly participate in racist activity or identify with racist organizations, but there are some outward signs you can perform to protect others from the effect of systematic racism. Amen. When you outwardly express an act of compassion towards those who are susceptible to systematic racism, you are acting against injustice and lifting up the unique human condition that we share as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Amen. Repent and be baptized. Here, for baptism, here are a few outward signs that we find in scripture. Philippians 2, 3, and 4 is an outward sign. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Amen. Galatians 6 and 10 is an outward sign. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are among the family of believers. Romans 12, 18 through 21 is an outward sign. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, that means you have your self-control, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of fire on his head. Verse 21, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. In John 13 and 34, Jesus provides us with an outward sign. He says, a new command I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. Amen. Listen, we must be in position as God moves for harvest in this nation. When he moves, you move. Amen. I'm encouraging those who would march before the unjust judge like the widow. When God moves in the middle of that march, you be ready to witness to souls that would receive Jesus Christ. In this Acts 2 Pentecostal setting, the unbelievers had a change of heart, and they didn't just look to Peter, but also to the others that were with him and asked, what must we do to be saved? Amen. They're not just going to ask the pastor. They're going to ask you, what must we do to be saved? And will you be prayed up? Will you be equipped? Will you be ready, empowered by the Holy Spirit? When God moves in this nation today, will we be ready to move with him? Will we be in position to lead a repentant heart to a relationship with Jesus Christ? Down in Acts verse 41, about 3,000 souls were saved, and by the end of the chapter, God was just moving and adding to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen? God will do his part. Listen, the injustice of racism is not simply going to disappear, but God did not leave us without instructions. He has not left us nor forsaken us. Church, pray until the empowerment of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Get educated on scripture and history. Be in position as God moves for harvest in this nation. When he moves, you move. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we need you in this moment. Send your helper, the comforter, the Holy Spirit. Send him, for without him we are weak. Father God, we're weak without you. Lord, work in our hard places today. Work in the hard place of our heart and break the lie of racial injustice. Break through generational strongholds and release us to love as you have spoken in your word. Father, give us understanding of scripture and history that will then guide our behavior in this world. Bless us to be ready, equipped, and in position for the harvest which is yours. Receive the new believer with the free gift of your salvation. Lord, we thank you. And we bless you. Forevermore we shall raise up your name and give glory for all that you have done. God, we rest in thy hand today. Sovereign control is yours. Hey, glory. Woo! We bless you now, O Lord. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, O Lord. We give glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Church, I want you to remember this. God's love is bigger than the sin of racism. Jesus has offered grace and forgiveness to all of us who will receive it. God says that we have all fallen short of the original purpose that he had for us. And even though we have separated ourselves from him, God sent his son Jesus to pay the penalty for our faults. So right now from your home or wherever you may be watching, I just want to let you know, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is when you speak out, it's with your mouth that you profess your faith, and you are saved. Amen. If there's somebody in your house that's making that decision for the first time right now, pray on them. Pray with them. Amen. If you're by yourself and it's your first time making that decision, or if you've backslided, if you've gone another way, come back now. Listen, call us, contact us, email us, get on the phone right now, 215-748-4578. That's our phone number. Don't get hindered by the voicemail. Leave a voicemail and we will call you back. Leave right now at this moment. Contact. Get in that chat session. Get on that message board. Get on that Instagram. Get in touch with us that you might have counsel that together we might walk through this road that leads to Jesus Christ. Amen. Salvation is available today. Amen.
Amen. This is a time that we can't afford to be weary.
Thank you.
And many of us are weary.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
So we need prayer for a refreshing.
Thank you, God.
And if you feel like you're on your last straw.
Yes, right now. Yes.
I encourage you to call for prayer.
Yes, right now.
To be refreshed.
Yes.
To be renewed.
Yes.
Because when this tsunami of glory, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I want to be in the number. I want to be on the front lines. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to take part of this harvest. We've been praying for too long to be asleep when the harvest comes. And I know I'm on the verge of being on asleep. And so I just encourage you, if you need prayer, call us for prayer.
Glory.
We would love to pray for you.
Yes, Lord.
And I encourage all of us to keep praying for the members. Keep praying. Keep praying. Don't give up.
Yes, Lord.
Keep praying. Yes. Keep praying for those young men and young women.
Glory.
Keep praying. Because God has something in store for each one of them.
Yes, Lord.
And I can't afford to see them being cast aside.
Yes, Jesus.
Amen.
Harvest.
Harvest.
Yes,
and he's calling us to be the midwives.
Glory.
To pull them through. The word says to some, you pull out the fire. And to others, you have compassion on them.
Yes.
But whatever we have to do, let's pull them out.
Yes,
so we can see them in.
Glory.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for that word. I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged, church. To keep going, to keep praying, to keep being up all night praying. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about.
Lord.
Y'all prayer warriors that be up in the middle of the night praying, keep praying.
Yes,
amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I just want to thank each and every one of you for joining our broadcast today and for your continued financial support of this ministry. To support our ministry through the giving of tithes and offering, please go to our website at taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions to give online, by text, or through U.S. Postal Mail. To give from your mobile device, you may text the code TAYLOR61 now to the phone number 73256. And you will get a link back to complete your donation. To give by U.S. Postal Mail, you may mail a check or money order made out to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19139. And the announcements for this month. Remember that deacons and ministers are available to pray with you. You can call 215-748-4578 or on the prayer request section of our website. Amen. And for the announcements, the pastor and leadership team would like to announce that planning has begun for mid-September reopening date for our church. The exact date will be announced as we get closer. Please continue to pray for the safe reopening of our church and communities. On July 17th, Friday night prayer and Bible study by our church conference line. This week we'll be studying the book of 3 John. July 19th, we have a guest speaker on our live channels. Be with our Reverend Dr. Augustus Curry, who is the pastor of Cornerstone Baptist Church in Fayetteville, Georgia. I'm excited, church. I'm excited. Amen. July 24th, somebody say joy night. I hear you, I hear you, I hear you. We're having our virtual Joy Night service, which is one of my favorite services of the year. Amen. The power packed by the Holy Spirit. And it's going to be hosted by our Young Life Experience and the Young Adult Ministry by Zoom at 7:30 p.m., and then more details will follow. Please continue to pray for our youth. On July 26th, Back to School Sunday service will be hosted by our brother, Jordan Ford, and family. Keep praying for our youth. Amen. Join our mailing list to keep up on events. Additionally, our website and social media channels are available to you. At this time, turn it back over for Reverend John Cureton for the benediction.
Woo. Church, we're so glad that you came and shared once again with us. Let's ask the Lord to move in this manner. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to move in this manner. Amen. I just want to encourage us in that. And the resource list that we had, I did want to let you know, we'll get that to you. All of that was in there, all the books, all the videos, and everything that was there. Amen. So we're going to get that to you. Amen. Just make sure we have your email. That's all we need. Amen. So everything we need so we can get equipped, so we can learn how the church can address the injustice of racism. Amen. Pray, get educated, and be ready when God moves. Amen. So I'm so thankful that you joined today. Don't miss Pastor Curry next week. Amen. Be ready. Be on time. 10 a.m. next Sunday. Be ready for Pastor Augustus Curry of the Cornerstone Baptist Church, Fayetteville, Georgia. Be ready for him on that day. Amen. Father, we thank you for being in our midst. We thank you for being in our homes and our households. We pray now that you continue to have your covering over us. Continue to have your hand of protection right here where we need it. Continue to open up our eyes, open up our hearts, amen, that we could receive what your word has to say to us. Father, we love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.